Okay, everybody, welcome on back here to Simple Faith Baptist Church, where the Bible changes us. We do not change the Bible. Sorry for a late start, guys. Had a good little fellowship before we started. We're just going to make this a quick, small word of refreshment and encouragement for the Sunday school hour. If you could turn your Bible with me to the book of 1 John, chapter number 1, I'd greatly appreciate that. 1 John, chapter 1, it's going to be towards the right-hand side of your Bible. Number one, John, as many people like to identify it as, it's not the same as the Gospel of John, right? After Matthew, Mark, and Luke, it's a small little epistle, but yet it contains some great, great, powerful truths of some simplistic doctrines. So today, I just want to quickly encourage you with for the Sunday school hour. Amen. I think we're going to kind of redirect our Sunday school hour for some more other distinct studies, and we'll talk about that later. All right, so 1 John chapter 1, if you guys have your Bible there, let's just go ahead and open up with a quick word of prayer. Father, I thank you for allowing us another day of life and breath that wasn't promised to us. Lord God, thank you for the souls that are here today. Thank you for my brief discussion with a dear brother and friend. Lord, I just pray, God, that you would continue to help him grow in what it is that you have for his life, Lord God. And I just want to thank you for everybody else that's here, Lord, and that's coming to church here. Lord, would you please help us to continue to grow together as a family? I thank you for everything you're doing in my life, and I look forward to you instructing us from your word of life to give us a good Sunday school message, O Lord, of refreshment and encouragement. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, look at 1 John chapter 1. Let's just go ahead and read the verses together, and then we'll just quickly talk about some things I just want to highlight. Look at verse number 1. The Bible says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life." So here we have John the Apostle. Remember, guys, he was the last apostle to have lived and died a natural death. Unlike all the other apostles who had suffered by the hands of persecution, it was this apostle who actually died a natural death, right? And so concerning what is he describing about the eyesight and then the physical embracement and the we, that the plurality of other folks have looked upon, the word of life is none other than Jesus Christ. Remember that the title, if you will, that was given him at his birth was Jesus, but in John chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So from eternity, the main title, if you will, of Jesus before he was manifested in the flesh was the Word of God. So just remember that whenever you see that, perhaps even in your Old Testament and in your New Testament, the Word of God or the Word of the Lord came unto a certain individual, just know that that most likely and 99% of the time was none other than Jesus Christ, what we call pre-incarnate, so before he became flesh. So let's go back to 1 John 1. Verse number 2, for the life was manifested. So notice, it's eternal, and then it was manifested. It was physically shown and revealed, if you will. Verse number 2, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life. So now again, it's the person of Christ. Remember, he is the eternal Word, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So notice two things. He's writing unto these people so that they can not only learn about this truth that they've seen and heard and touched, not only so that way they can hear about it, read it, but that they could also have what? Fellowship with us. So when other Christians believe Jesus Christ as the Son of God, we have fellowship with them, and likewise, they have fellowship with us. And then ultimately, what do we all have? We all have fellowship with God together. Do me a favor. If you have time, just turn your Bible quickly to the book of John 17. If not, you can look up to the projector screen. Why is that important? To just remember that all Christians around the earth, regardless of what church they may attend today, if they have put their faith in the Son of God for their salvation, they have been reconciled to the Father in a relationship, and all of us, the same way and the same manner, we are now all one in Christ. We're all family, if you will, in Jesus Christ, and therefore we can all have fellowship one with another. So look at here in John chapter 17, and let's read together starting in verse 20. Now, obviously, sometimes your Bibles may have the print in red font, which just indicates that that's Jesus speaking, but it's all the Word of God, amen. But look at what he's saying here. This is Jesus praying to the Father before he gets betrayed and before the crucifixion takes place. Let's see what he's praying about. He says in verse 20, "Neither pray I for these alone," that's the disciples in the immediate context, "but for them also which shall believe on me through their" what? "Word." So let me ask you a question. How many of you guys have believed on Jesus Christ? Anybody? So would you agree that from the immediate disciples 2,000 years ago, they preached, others believed, and then when those folks died out, eventually the folks that they preached onto, they believed, and then when that generation died out, it just kept continuing, and up until you today, 2022, 2021, whenever you guys got saved. Isn't that a blessing that our Savior was praying for us already before he went to the cross by believing what somebody would preach? All right, now look at verse 21. What is the prayer? "That they may all go to the same church." Is that what it says? No. It says that they may all be one. "As thou," now he's going to explain what that means, "Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in" who? "Us. That the world," that's the unbeliever out there, who sees now those who believe, "that the world may believe that thou hast sent me." Look at verse 22. "And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one." So who is Jesus talking about when he says we are one? The Father and him. You guys see that? Now look at one more verse in verse number 23. "I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me." Isn't that an awesome prayer from Jesus, guys? What is he asking God the Father to do? He is asking God the Father for a unity amongst his followers. He is asking God the Father for a peace amongst his believers. What is our problem today, church? Well, clearly, there's not as much unity in the body of Christ as Christ prayed for. We know that. There are different denominations. There are different divisions. Pastor over here, pastor over there, and everything else. That's why they're all separate. I understand. And that's something that we all have as a fault, if you will, in the body of Christ. All general Christians is something that we're all going to have to talk to the Lord about one day and work it out. But aren't you glad that from God's perspective, no matter who they are, no matter who you are, no matter where you attend for today, when you believe the biblical gospel that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he died for you. And that if you would believe in him, he would give you everlasting life. That general foundational truth that was set and sent from heaven to earth, look at the prayer that your Savior asked God to do, and now it became true once you believed. You are now one with who? God. Because Christ is in you, you're in Christ, and because Christ is in the Father also is in you. Isn't that a blessing? Now, go down with me a couple of chapters to the left. We're going to just go off a topic for a second, but then I'm going to bring it back before we close. Go to John 14. John 14, and then follow with me, church, along a couple of verses down here to verse number 21. Now, this is going to hopefully blow some of your minds. Some of you guys are going to be encouraged as much as I am by this reminding verse. Real powerful. John 14, 21. Look at what Jesus states here, y'all. "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him." Now watch this. "And will manifest myself to him." Whew. So how many of you guys have a Bible? All right, so some of you guys have a Bible today. So here are where you can find the commandments of God. Let me make it real simple. Right now, I'm not talking about understanding all of what it says, right? Well, I'm just saying you have it. So you have the Bible, you have the commandments of God. The next step is what? Keeping them. Jesus said, if you are the one who has my word and you're the one that is keeping my word, you're obeying my word, then you're the one that loves me. What is the indirect truth? Well, those who have the word of God, but they don't keep him, well, clearly, those are not the Christians that love him. Those are not the Christians that are showing sincere reverential response to him. But now, what is the blessing if you are that one Christian here today or watching online that is keeping the word of God? He says, not only will he love you, you'll be loved of the Father, and look at what he promises. He will manifest himself to you. You say, Brother Carlos, is Jesus supposed to show up in my bed at night while I'm praying? No, that's not what he's saying. Is he going to just supernaturally appear to us right now? Now, that would be obviously awesome, but he's not required to. How is he going to manifest himself to you today, church? Go back to 1 John. Watch how we're going to bring this back to circle. 1 John chapter 1. Look at verse number 3 again. 1 John 1, 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye may have what? Fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So how awesome is that? Today, the way that Jesus can manifest himself to us, the way that we can literally have that intimate relationship with our Lord, just like the disciples had when he first came, just like John is describing, man, we were with him, we fellowship with Jesus, we hugged on Jesus, we saw him, we're just telling you what he told us. But you can have fellowship with him today if you have his word and you keep his word, right? Real good, simple message. Verse 4. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Notice that, church, joy from fellowshipping with Jesus. All right, now verse 5, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Real simple, okay? I'm a Christian. I profess to be a follower of the Son of God. That is Christ-like. I'm a little Christ on the earth in the sense of my profession. I'm a Christian, Christ-like, but if I profess that before you, church, and I'm walking yet in darkness, that is, let's just say Brother Carlos goes back to, you know, former life of living or vice versa, you today, what does God say? Well, we're lying because we're not what? Doing the truth. We're not keeping the commandments. But verse 7, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. That's the secondary blessing. The Christian here today who has possession to the Word of God, and the Christian here today who is keeping the Word of God, right? Doing their best to be in obedience, walking with God, praying with God, fellowshipping with the Lord. You have genuine fellowship right now with God, the Father, and the Son. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Are you going to be perfect all the time? No. Are you going to be sinless? Well, obviously not. Because look at what he says in the next verses. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Church, you're never going to hear from my lips that I'm perfect, clearly. Any Christian out there who says we are sinless or there's no more sin in us and we're not going to sin anymore, no, they are wrong. You need to avoid those, whoever they are out there. But if we confess our sins, verse number 9, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The answer to this is what? Confession. So how do I maintain fellowship with God? So that way the joy of Christ may be in my soul today, in my spirit. So no matter how people are acting around me, no matter my family circumstance, no matter my friendship circumstance, no matter my workplace circumstance, how can I go out into the world from the moment I wake up and have this joy from heaven, even though I know I have my problems, even though I know I have my sins and my shortcomings? Verse 9, confessing. Because when we confess our sins to God, we are agreeing with God that he's right and we are wrong. We are agreeing with God that his word is truth, and when we're disobeying his word, we're not being a practitioner of that. But when we do confess, look at what the Bible says. God is faithful, not only to cleanse you, church, but to, I'm sorry, forgive you, but to cleanse you. So we don't have to continue in a manner of life of darkness, clearly. In Ephesians 4, it tells Christians about those who stole, steal no more, right? And so you guys can just do your best to put anything, if you will, in that example. Whatever you used to do, you no longer have to do because Jesus Christ has given you such sufficiency to cleanse you. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Let's go to the next chapter. Let's go to chapter number chapter four, and then we're going to come to a close. So what are we just talking about? Let's kind of refresh it before we close. Fellowship with God. How can I experience a joyful relationship with God, maintaining my walk with the Lord? Yes, he knows we're going to sin. Yes, he knows we're not going to be perfect, but he told you, you can confess and we can have a relationship with him. Now, how does this end up with each other as Christians, loving one another? Well, let's talk about that before we close. He says in verse 1, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know you the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God, and this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. So real simple. Who believes that Jesus is the eternal Word of God? Who believes that he's God? Verse number 4, Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So those who are fellow Christians are those who claim to believe in Jesus, the eternal word, right? They believe that he's the Son of God and everything else. And we can have fellowship with them. He told us that in chapter 1. We can have proper fellowship with God vertically when we're confessing our sins and doing our best to keep his word. But now here's how we can know with other people around us, right? So outside of our own self. Other people like me and you, you and me and other Christians. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. One of the evidences of a sincere Christian is somebody who loves you, somebody who cares for you, somebody who is willing to be a friend to you at all times, somebody who is desirous for your spiritual growth in Christ. Look at verse number 9. In this was manifested the love of God. So now he's going to give you an example toward us. Because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. He says, herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. So what's a quick word of encouragement for us today, church? Is love a feeling? No. Love is an action. Love is a sacrifice. God sent his Son to die on the cross for you, so that you might live through him. What does that tell me as a Christian? If I say I love God and God is in me, my love for you is not going to be measured by my feelings, it's going to be measured by my action. In other words, godly love or Christ-like love is a love that is self-sacrificial for the benefit of others. Look at verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, what does it say, church? We ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. Let's go down here a little bit in verse number 19. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that we who loveth God love his brother also. So what is a quick word of encouragement for our Sunday school for sake of time? God is love. He told us that, right, in 1 John 4. If I believed in the Son of God and he saved my soul and I have a reconciled relationship with his Father, the way that is going to the one of the main things that's going to prove that to you is my love for you. Because I recognize that I was once a sinner on my way to hell with all my faults and infirmities and everything else. And the only one who had the perfect right to condemn me for everything that I am wrong is God. But he put all that on his Son Jesus. And I believed in him. And he saved me. And now he is in me. And I'm in God. And now me and God are one. And the prayer of Christ was that all of us, to all Christians, no matter, again, where they go, that we all would be one too. We would all have a love one for another. We would all have a care one for another. We would all have a genuine fellowship with each other, because we all recognize, wait a second, here's our God. We haven't even seen him, But this is the way that proves to us that we are born of him, is by our love for each other. So when Christians come short of that love, when Christians come short of that standard, if you will, man, we need to immediately ask God to forgive us, help us to get back on that love and that forgiving and endearing fellowship with each other. I just want to encourage you that with that quick message for the Sunday school hour. Does that make sense? Love for God. And so, man, let's just do our best to keep our love for the Lord, our love for each other, not give up. That's what God commands us to do. Love one another, no matter what goes on in the circumstance of our life. Pray for each other. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this quick Sunday school hour, Lord. We look forward to the Sunday service. Lord, would you minister to us and help us to keep our love on you and our love for each other strong. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's go ahead and take a 15-minute break.